We all know that the U.S. is filled with those hungry for war. From our politicians to the media, they'd lead us to believe that war is the only solution. So when Hamas attacked Israel and Israel retaliated, everyone started taking sides and condoning war. All about that and more today on The Michael Wilson Show.
From the American Beacon Studios, this is The Michael Wilson Show.
The biggest story right now, and by biggest, I mean it's pretty much the only story you can find if you go on social media. It is plastered everywhere, to the extent that I had a hard time finding other stories to actually cover, because this is everywhere. It all started with a terror attack from Hamas on a rave taking place in Israel. Hamas paraglided into the rave and shot and killed almost everyone in attendance. We now know also that several Americans were there, so it wasn't just Israelis that they killed. They also killed and took prisoners of Americans. There were videos coming out right after that from pro-Palestine social medias that showed Hamas members dragging dead people along, spitting on them, kicking them. While it's extremely disgusting, it really shouldn't be all too surprising coming from a terrorist group. If you're going to paraglide in and shoot tons of innocent people, I'd say the rest is just par for the course. A lot of people are saying, how could they do that? How, this is so inhumane. And it's like, yes. Obviously, this whole thing is inhumane. But if you're going to take a look at terrorists who decided to go into a rave full of civilians and open fire rockets and machine guns, are you then going to turn around and question how these people are capable of rape and of body desecration? I don't really think so. There's lots of reports which have yet to be verified. People everywhere are saying things and posting videos, which we know are from years ago. I mean, people are posting videos today saying, look what's going on. And it's like, that's a video from 2018. So finding true, verifiable information has been incredibly difficult on this developing story. What we do know is that they launched a rocket into a mosque near Jerusalem, which is interesting to me because Hamas is an Islamic terrorist group from an Islamic country. So firing a rocket on a mosque, not a synagogue, an Islamic mosque, doesn't really make any sense. They also fired directly on Jerusalem from Gaza. Now, in retaliation, Israel trapped millions of people inside Gaza with no access to outside food or water and no electricity. The problem that we come across when we see this is pretty simple, actually. And the fact of the matter is that if this is a war, which it very clearly is, you've got two sides. You've got Israel and you've got Hamas. You don't have millions of Palestinian people. And so, when you trap millions of people who are merely innocent civilians in a confined area, you cut off their access to food, their access to water, and their access to electricity, and then you start bombing the place, you're no longer any better than the people you're fighting against. Now, while we have the facts, talking about the responses, I think, is one of the most important parts of this story. Big names on both the right and the left are staunchly pro-war here. I mean, undebatably. The people who support Israel are saying that Gaza should be decimated and that casualties are unfortunate, but it's the price that must be paid to win a war. The people who support Palestine are saying the other side of this, which is it's a necessity because they deserve their land, and while casualties are unfortunate, it is the price that must be paid because it's a war. They're pretty much mirror reflections of each other, just picking a different side. It's worth noting that both sides want the U.S. directly involved. Both sides want us to pick a side and support them with our troops and our money. This, on top of the Ukraine conflict, is escalating everything to a dangerous extent of starting another world war. And I don't say that lightly. There's a lot of people on social media, in the news, through the media, that are very, very much fearmongers. They want people to be afraid because it makes them money. Because when people are afraid, they comment, they do what you say, you know, that sort of thing. I am not one of those people. I am not a fearmonger. I have not sat here for a long time and said, you should be doing all these things because world war is coming. I've never been one of those people. I've never said that it's not a possibility. I'm also not naive. However, as someone who is not a fearmonger, who doesn't have a history of being one, I am not exaggerating when I say this has world war repercussions. Because the issue comes into play. And we're going to talk about it a little bit more, but the issue comes into play when we talk about the U.S. getting involved. So let's take a look at that. Speaking of money that we've given to people like Ukraine, do y'all remember when we gave Iran $10 billion of Iraqi money? Or how about just a few months later when we gave Iran, quote unquote, their own $6 billion back? We unfroze their assets, which, by the way, if anyone tells you, well, that was their money anyways, yes, that we had total control over. And we decided, we made the decision to release that money to them when they literally told us they'll do what they see fit with that money. So we already knew what we were doing when we gave them, what, $16 billion? And now that's the same Iran that's allegedly funding Hamas and their terror attacks. I said it back then. I'm going to say it again now. Negotiating with terrorists never works out well. This used to be a thing in America. Like, it was in movies. It was a pretty big quote. We don't negotiate with terrorists, right? Like, there were scenes in like the 80s of the president picking up his landline, getting a call from a terrorist about an attack they were going to do, yada, yada, yada. And it was always the same response, which was just hang up. Like, it doesn't do what you're going to do, and we'll retaliate. We'll exact justice, but we are not going to negotiate with you to get you what you want. We're not going to do it. America has always proclaimed that. And yet, under the Biden administration, here we are, sitting here, giving them $16 billion that, not a year later, goes directly to fund a war that has huge ramifications. There's a video we need to talk about, because this is not just a war of two different countries. I would say that this is a religious war. And what I mean by that is simple. Russia and Ukraine is much more of a war between two different countries for various reasons. The war between Israel and Hamas, Israel and Palestine, which has been an ongoing conflict, is not even just about the land, as much as Democrats would like you to believe that that's all that it is. A lot of it is the fact that there are two opposing ideologies, which are vastly different. And these two ideologies are automatically at opposition with one another. And so when you take two opposing views and you put them at odds, and then you start a war on that basis, rather than it being just a conversation of a regular war, it turns into a conversation of religion. And so we're going to see this in this video a little bit about what that means. So let's go ahead and watch that.
We're done being tortured and hurt and judged. This is the correct religion. This is the religion that all of humanity needs to be upon, of Islam. And we will not stop until it enters every home. So I want you to repeat after me. I want to hear it in every single district. It should tremble. Brooklyn should hear it. The Bronx should hear it. Queens should hear it. Say it as if the Ummah depends on this, my brothers and sisters. La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship except Allah, the God of Jesus, the God of Moses, the God of Abraham, and the God of the last and final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
First of all, the God of Muhammad is a demon. Like that. Muhammad was either a liar or something appeared to him in a cave that was not on the side of the righteous. So I could personally talk for a very long time about the issues with Islam and why, as a religion, it has no functional basis, why at its fundamental roots it is heretical, blasphemous even. But I'm not going to do that. I will say that this is why I've been anti-Muslim. And what I mean by that is very simple. So there's lots of people. I'll give you an example. Patrick Beck David. I love the guy. Love the guy's podcast. But PBD has spent a lot of time sitting in his comfy little chair and saying point blank that he thinks that we all need to get along, that we have more in common than we think. Protestants, Catholics, Jews, Muslims, that on the fundamental principles, things like family, belief, you know, all these things, that we can agree. And so because of that, we should work together. And I have never, ever said that. And for valid reason, I think that's an incredibly ignorant thing to propose. Because at its roots, Islam refuses to allow other religions. this right here, this guy that just you just heard that message from, he's not some fringe Muslim of some radical group. That is the belief of Islam, that everyone must hear it and everyone must convert. And so you see, when we're in a war, well, we're not in a war, when Israel is in a war with Islam, practically, it is not going to end. Because Islam is not like Christianity or Judaism. Islam refuses to allow religious freedom. They don't allow it. There's a lot of things that Islam doesn't allow. I want to talk a little bit about something that's really interesting. So a lot of proponents of the left that are pro-Palestinian, even in our own government, throughout the media, on social media, et cetera, all of them, or a large majority of them, also support the rights of the LGBTQ. And it's interesting because one of our congresswomen has, outside of her office, a Palestinian flag and an LGBTQ plus flag. There was a rally the other day it was a pride rally where they were all holding signs saying free Palestine, give them their land, all these things. I think that these people are a little bit confused because I don't think they've read the Quran. I don't think they know what they're actually advocating for. Islam, and here's one of the big differences between Islam and Christianity. Christianity eradicates ideology. Islam eradicates people. And so you'll find that while in Christianity we say you can't be gay, you can't be transgender, we need to eradicate the thought that you can be, Islam says, oh, you're gay? You're dead. And so when you have LGBTQ plus people marching and fighting to free Palestine, they're just morons. Because if you actually took the beliefs of the Palestinian people and you applied them in their area, they would all be executed with no second thought or regard. And I don't think, if they do realize that, then they're stupid. And if they don't realize that, they're also very stupid. Mia Khalifa, if you know who that is, if you don't, bless you. If you do, I hope it's because you've just heard her name around. She was a porn star for a lot of years. She works very closely now with Playboy. She's employed by them. She was fired from Playboy for a tweet she made defending Palestine and their actions. Now, while this is obviously a good thing, right? Like anyone who is condoning what Hamas did, I think should lose their job. I mean, I'm not a big cancel them person, but if you're good with raping, murdering civilians, that sort of thing, I really don't see how you automatically then deserve a stable career. I don't personally see that. And while, like I said, it's a good thing, it's incredibly ironic to me that a porn company has some sort of standard. Let that sink in. The company that distributes porn that is good with you looking at the most degenerate things has standards. So the question then becomes, do they really have standards, or is this war about taking sides? And I think that plays into the larger picture. A lot of people are just saying, oh, it's a good thing, she got fired, ha ha. I agree, but at the same time, why does a porn company have such standards? Well, the answer is simple. Because in this war, everyone must take a side. You're not allowed to sit back and say, I want nothing to do with this. I want no part of this. This is not my business. This is them. We're not allowed to do that. And if you do that, well, you're evil. You're a monster. That is essentially what people on the right and the left are both telling us. I don't agree. I'll also point out that this whole thing doesn't make much sense. I have been labeled a conspiracy theorist more times than I can count for so many various different things. But from what we're hearing, Israel knew about the attack. According to Egypt, Israel knew. And even if we, you know, say, oh, well, that guy could be lying. Okay, let's say that he was lying. How does the most secure, technologically advanced surveillance state allow multiple planes with paragliding terrorists in and let them shoot up a rave for an extended period of time? If you're sitting there and you're for the first time thinking, well, that really doesn't make much sense. Congratulations. It really doesn't make much sense. Except it does. And here's why it makes sense. Because this is hugely reminiscent of two other major times in U.S. history, Pearl Harbor and 9/11. These are both attacks that the U.S. undoubtedly knew was coming, and yet they did nothing. Why? Well, for Pearl Harbor, we knew that if we let it happen, the general agreement among the citizens before Pearl Harbor was we didn't want involved in the war, we wanted to stay out of it, wasn't our business. Then after Pearl Harbor, all of a sudden, patriotism, justice, the American people, all of them, all of a sudden decided, oh, well, no, we need to get involved. They attacked us. We didn't prevent it. 9/11, at the very, very best, your government knew about 9/11. At the worst, they planned it. Either way would be unsurprising. But let's go with the best case. They knew about it and did nothing. Why? Because after 9/11, we got to go and invade the Middle East. And then we got to set up surveillance, the likes of which the U.S. had never seen before, and justify it because we had to protect our people and had to have national security. So when you see an example of a country that it seems must have let something happen somehow, they probably did. And it was probably for a reason that's not too difficult to discover. What is the reason in this case? I don't know. But what I can tell you is that it's pretty obvious to me and any casual observer that this whole thing has suspicion written all over it. Speaking of governments advancing their goals at any cost, even their own people, here's a story. This isn't necessarily a new story, but some people are just kind of breaking it because, you know, the FBI released a whole lot of documents. We'll get into why it's just being talked about. But this is a story about the CIA and the FBI from the 1970s and the 1980s. This is from the You Are Founder President and You Are the Power Founder and President, Spike Cohen. So here's what he broke on Twitter. He said, in 1987, Tallahassee police responded to a report of two men in suits with six young children who were dirty, malnourished, and covered in bites. Officers arrested Doug Ammerman and Michael Hallwell on suspicion of kidnapping, trafficking, and abuse of children. A few days later, they discovered that Ammerman and Hallwell were members of a satanic cult called the Finders, and that the children's mothers, who were also members, had voluntarily given their children over to these men. These children, some as young as 2 years old, had been sexually abused, forced to live outside, kill and torture animals, and neglected and abused in a myriad of other ways. The Finders were under the leadership of Marion Petty, whom they called the Pathfinder. He taught them a complex and rigid New Age way of living on his commune, controlled every aspect of their lives, and ordered them to give over their children to him so that he could teach them to play games. Police released details of their investigation to the public, who was already in the midst of the satanic panic of the 80s. A national investigation of the Finders began, with federal agents and law enforcement from multiple states involved. And then suddenly, all the charges were dropped, the men were released, and the investigation was closed. Why? Well, in 1993, U.S. Customs Special Agent Ramon Martinez came forward to say he had participated in the Finders investigation and had found evidence of not only what had been released, but of their intent to do even more horrific things in the near future. Soon after, they were informed that the Finders were a CIA internal matter, that any evidence needed to be made secret, and that all investigation was to finish by them. Copies of a report confirm what Martinez had said. The Finders were a CIA internal matter, and the cult was a front to train agents. Two congressmen, Tom Lewis and Charlie Rose, went public with this news. Lewis stated, "Could our own government have something to do with this Finders organization and have turned their backs on these children? That's what the evidence points to. I can tell you that we've got a lot of people scrambling, and that wouldn't be happening if there was nothing here." The Department of Justice conducted an investigation and found that not only had the CIA and other government agencies done nothing wrong, but the Finders hadn't as well. Despite the evidence of criminality by both the Finders and the government, no charges were filed and no one was held accountable. Then, in 2019, the FBI published hundreds of documents related to this event. Even though they were heavily redacted, they still showed that police had raided Finders' properties and found ample evidence of sexual abuse of children, including photos of naked kids taking part in animal sacrifices, as well as cages that the children were believed to be kept in, and that the government refused to provide evidence to state investigators. It showed that the wife and son of Marion Petty, the founder of the Finders, had worked for the CIA. Marion Petty was a former master sergeant with the U.S. Air Force. He began working with OSS, which was the agency that came before the CIA, during World War II. After the war in 1946, he served as a chauffeur for the general while still being trained in counterintelligence. He also bought hundreds of acres of land in Virginia, something he couldn't have possibly afforded on the salary that he had. This land would later become the site of the founder's commune. Starting in 1957, Petty's wife, Isabel, got a job at the CIA. For decades, Petty was trained in the U.S. and in Germany. And then his handler, Colonel Leonard Wagner, told him to resign from the military, surround himself with cooks, and infiltrate the human potential in New Age movements, the hippies. He recruited a network of agents in the U.S. and Europe to join his cult, where they train in counterintelligence, communication, and computer programming. And to maintain his front, he received vulnerable people to join his satanic cult, devote their lives to his made-up lifestyle, and even sacrifice their children to him. He did this from the early 1970s until at least 1987. I'm giving a pause here because if this does not disgust you, if you are somehow trying to scramble in your mind to justify why they could have done this, there isn't one. This is a prime example of the darkest version of the ends justify the means. It's sick. It's disgusting. And that, right there, ladies and gentlemen, is the U.S. government. And so, when people call me conspiracy theorists for my beliefs on 9/11, or Pearl Harbor, or the recent wildfires in Maui, all I can do is look at them and say, but there are things we know they did. These are some things that we haven't found out yet. Not truly. Not by evidence. But there are things like this that we specifically know from their own documents that they did. And you're going to sit there and tell me I'm a conspiracy theorist for believing that the government doesn't always have our best interests, that they'd be willing to hurt their own people for some kind of gain? Yes, I do. They were so scared of hippies in the 70s that they started a commune where your own government sexually abused kids legitimately as a front for spies. It's one thing to go undercover to fit in. It's a whole nother to start your own movement, to have your own commune where you have not just kids, but babies, two-year-olds, partaking in animal sacrifices, torturing and killing animals, nude, sexual abuse. And that is the U.S. government. And it is why when situations like what happens in Israel or what happened on 9/11 or what happened in Maui happen, I am among the first to say, was it our government? I don't know. Probably. Could have been. Easily. Wouldn't surprise at all. Because it wouldn't. All right, if you're done with the disgust and the wars, I got some good news for you. Texas schools are starting to use farmers' food. This is from the Epoch Times. Texas Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller is fighting against the 30 by 30 agenda, which basically prioritizes fighting climate change over our own people. It's basically the point of the 30 by 30 agenda. It's, well, we need to get our land back and make sure that we're protecting, you know, fighting climate. Yeah, it's one of those nonsense, just baseless agendas. Before Commissioner Sid Miller got involved, Texas public schools got all of their food frozen and then reheated it. Kids were throwing away most or all of their food because it was just frozen piles of garbage, which I don't blame them. I can tell you, in my own personal experience, if you offer me the difference between frozen and unfrozen food, I will never pick the frozen. It is why I don't really like fast food a lot of the time, because it's very clearly fake. It doesn't taste nutritious. There's no value in it. Sid Miller started talking to schools, asking how much they were supporting local farmers and actually getting, you know, fresh food for the students, food that was good for them. And as it turns out, not a single school in the state was doing it. Now, because of his efforts, Texas public schools have so far spent $65 million on getting fresh, locally sourced food for students. Far less food is going in the trash, local farmers are benefiting from the increased revenue, and the kids are getting fresh, never frozen food. This is such good news for a couple of reasons, and I'm going to go through them. Firstly, the obesity crisis in America is dangerously high. Literally, look around. Look around at the U.S. in the 1940s, the 50s, the 60s. Look at the shape, the average shape of people on the beach. They were just straight down. Now, go outside and look at the average shape of people. They are all fat. That isn't to be rude. That isn't to be insulting, that isn't to laugh at them or demean them, but it is to point out the fact that the obesity crisis in America is incredibly, dangerously high. Everywhere you look, there's unhealthy fat people. Now, it was their own decision, so there's a certain level of like lack of sympathy I have, but at the same time, when you feed them, what America has been feeding us for decades, it isn't incredibly surprising. I mean, if you take a look around, a lot of the foods that you find on the grocery store aisles, You might notice that if you looked up those foods and tried to buy them in other countries, they're literally banned. Do you know why that is? I'll give you a hint. Because other countries care about their citizens a little bit more than our government does. You see, the FDA will approve an experimental vaccine. They'll approve foods that are banned in other countries. They'll approve food dyes that literally cause ADHD, severe problems in kids. They'll approve those. And then they'll turn around and say, you know, these literal vitamins, we can't approve those. We're going to take decades to approve this life-saving medication that's based in natural stuff. That, again, is the U.S. government for you. But there's a second reason why this is such good news. And that is because our country has been down on farmers for a long time. China and Bill Gates, which are, I would say, probably more like one and the same. So Chill Gates or whatever, have been buying up a ton of farmland. The media has said that cows are the reason somehow for our climate crisis, and the big companies have made all of the money. This initiative directly combats those insane concepts. So what Sid Miller is doing with having schools purchase their produce, their items from farms, is a win-win. Because farmers' revenue goes up. So the small-time farmers that care about people, that are actual people who aren't just in it for a profit, they're in it because they care about good food, quality ingredients, those people get supported. And on the back end of that, the students, which should be your main priority, by the way, in public school, that should be the students. I know it's not at this point, but it should be. The students are getting fresh, never frozen, healthy food from those local farmers. And so I think that this is a not just a test, but I think that this is an incredible act that should gain momentum and spread to the rest of the United States. Because for a very, very long time, the U.S. has not cared about small-time farmers. They've told them, you got to lower carbon emissions, you got to do this, you got to do that. When in reality, these people are the reason that our country exists. They're one of the primary backbones of our functioning society. And so when you have an initiative that supports them and supports the students, there's no world where that isn't incredible news. And some of you might be thinking to yourself, well, is this really the best news? I mean, schools bought some food. I mean, really, Michael? Yes. Yes, it is. Because, and I've said it already, but I'll say it again, farmers are unsupported largely, and students are fed badly. And so when an initiative comes through that gets us a win-win like this, there's no world where I won't announce it as good news. Because no other state is doing these kind of initiatives. They're too focused on problems that don't even exist, like transgenderism and climate change. They're too focused on that. But when you get focused and you support local farmers and you actually fight, because you know what the number one killer of people is? People are like, well, it's guns, it's this, it's that, it's obesity. Because obesity leads to all the other biggest problems. If you're obese, you know what happens with your heart? It stops beating. If you're obese, you know what happens to your liver? It stops functioning. And so when you start fixing the real epidemic in the United States, which was never COVID, but it was fat people, when you take steps to ensure that we bring that back down, that we start eating the food that we were supposed to be eating in the first place, I will always announce that as good news. I'll be clear now, as much as you can, not just for schools, but get your own food from small farmers. They'll appreciate the business, you'll appreciate the healthy quality ingredients, and maybe you'll even make a friend. I make efforts to go to farmers markets to get, you know, my honey, some of my vegetables. I order all of my meat from grass-fed, local, American ranchers, and I do that because I know that it's better for me, and I know that it actually supports the people in this economy that I care about supporting. And so while the story is certainly good news, I hope that it prompts you to take kind of a little bit of stock of yourself. Because if you're buying your ingredients from Kroger or Walmart, you're not getting quality ingredients. You're not actually supporting anybody. And in fact, if you don't know about the ingredients that are in half the food you're buying, you're actually worse off. When you go to a farm, you're not gonna buy Cap'n Crunch. When you go to Kroger, you're probably going to buy it, and then you're going to realize that the ingredients it has in it cause, if you were to list the side effects, it would be one of those long commercials with the middle-aged man in a really deep voice. Like, maybe give them a minute on it. And he lists things that you can't even understand, but it goes for like a solid 30 seconds straight. Yeah, that's what you're buying at the grocery store. You're not going to buy that from farmers. So I highly recommend you take this story to heart. You think through what I'm telling you, because while it is incredibly good news to hear that someone in our actual politics right now is actively putting in effort to help local farmers and help our kids, you as an individual needs to be taking your own steps. Not in a school sense, although that's true too. Again, homeschool your kids. I'll say it as many episodes as I possibly can. But buy from local farmers. Support your own economy. Support the economy of those you care about. Feed your kids well. Feed yourself well. And at the end of the day, make sure that I always have more good news to bring you. And I'll bring you more good news on the next episode. Till then, goodbye.